and we'll take a moment and look into God's Word. You know, we are actually following the outline of a little book called Biblical Protocols for Prayer. And it's all about the various parts that ought to be included in our approaching God as we come before Him to speak with Him in prayer. And this one, I think, if I recall correctly, is called confidence. Is that right? Confidence. Having confidence when you come before the Lord in prayer. In fact, you remember Hebrews chapter 4, I think, in verse 16, is the text that the author used when he talked about confidence, where we are called to come boldly, or confidently, I guess you might say, before the throne of grace when we come to the Lord in prayer. So I want to speak about that with you this evening. And one thing that God spoke to me about a long time ago along these lines was that He wanted me to ask Him in prayer to do things that are humanly impossible. God challenged me that way. And I call that praying big prayers. God challenged me personally to begin to pray big prayers. And I remember being really challenged when I read once again the story of Elijah and that contest on Mount Carmel that he had with the prophets of Baal, where he put the challenge forth that the God that sent fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice on the altar, He would prove Himself to be the true God. And I remember when I read that, and I realized what this guy was doing before he prayed and asked God to send the fire. First of all, it was a time of drought. Water was scarce. And not only that, he took like 12 barrels of water and he had it poured on top of that sacrifice so that everything was totally drenched with water. And we know what water does. It extinguishes fire. It puts fires out, right? So obviously there's only one reason that Elijah did that. The reason he did that is so that when God sent that fire to consume the sacrifice, it would be completely obvious to everyone looking on, there's only one way that this happened. God did it. And in other words, God did a human impossibility. If this thing was going to catch fire, it was going to be a miracle that only God could do. Do you want God to be most glorified before other people that know you're a Christian? If you do, then I think you and I need to start praying big prayers. We need to start learning to ask God to do things that are humanly impossible. Can you have that kind of confidence in God when you pray? If so, how? Well, I want to share three thoughts with you in a moment. Let's pray. Lord, I can't even do this without your enablement. And so I come before you tonight, realizing my inability and trusting your supernatural ability to communicate your truth to the human heart and to bring about change in our life. So Lord, I pray tonight that you would, even in our time together, demonstrate your ability to do that which is supernatural. Change hearts and lives. Those of us that are here, those that may be tuning in via the internet, Lord, you know, work accordingly, because we want it to be obvious that this is your doing and not a man's work. We want this to be God's work very clearly. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, how do you do it? How do you have the confidence to ask God to do things that are humanly impossible? Well, here's the first step. You have to examine the will of God. That is, you have to come to understand what God wants to do, what God wants done. And where do you find that out? You find that out by studying the Word of God, studying the Bible, and talking to God about it. God, what do you want done? Show me in the Bible. Show me how you work and show me what you want to work. There's a scripture that I think sometimes we misunderstand, but it's a good one. It's in Psalm 37, and it's the fourth verse where the psalmist says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. But first of all, notice it says, "Delight thyself in the Lord." Delight thyself in the Lord. In other words, when you open the Bible, you ought to be wanting God to give you delight in Him. You ought to be searching the Bible for the Lord. The way to get to a place where you can pray with confidence for things that are humanly impossible is for you, first of all, to get to know who God is. If you delight in the Lord, you are coming to understand who He is, and you'll find out also what God wants. When you know who He is, you'll also know what He wants. And then God's delight and your delight, or God's will and your will become one, will be the same. And I really think that's what the psalmist is saying in that verse. If you will delight in the Lord, if you will find your delight in the Lord, the things that you desire will be the same things that God desires. Examine the will of God by delighting in the Lord, and then your desires will be brought in line with His. You know what? Have you ever asked God to give you His desires? You often bring your desires to the Lord in prayer, right? If you pray at all. But have you ever stopped and asked God to give you His desires as you pray? You see, the Holy Spirit, His illumination, convinces you of something that is available to you from God. It's God's will, in other words. And then the Holy Spirit will author faith in your heart, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He illuminates you to see something that God would make available to you, what God would do, and then He builds, He authors, He births faith in your heart for that very thing. God works in you through His Spirit to influence you, to exercise your will by faith, to depend upon Him, so that He can bring to pass what He wants done, so He can make it happen. That's, I think, what Paul is talking about in Philippians 2:13. It is God that worketh in you to will. What God desires, His good pleasure, it is God that works that in you. He puts His desires in you. He authors that, and then He builds faith for you to pray for that very thing. He builds that desire in you. You know what? If you examine the will of God in that way, by delighting in the Lord, by then having His desires, I would say you would then also need to delineate. That is, list what you know to be God's will so that you can confidently pray for those things. Make a list, at least a mental one, of what you know, what you have discovered to be God's will, so when you pray, you can pray confidently for those things. Now, what do you know to be God's will? Let's just name some obvious things. Well, number one, don't you think it's God's will to save people? Who would have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come. So guess what? When you pray for people to be saved, I know there's a human will involved, but you can pray with great confidence that that is the will of God, that God saves that person regardless of how hard-hearted they are, regardless of how much resistance they put up. It is God's will for that person to be saved. and you can pray confidently for a person's salvation. What else can you pray for? What else do you know to be the will of God that you could thus pray confidently for? Well, I can pray for each one of you, and you can pray for me as a believer. It's God's will that we be sanctified. It's God's will that we be conformed to the image of Christ, right? So we can pray with great confidence when we pray for people, God's people even, to have change in their heart, to have their hearts changed. These are some things that we can list, that we can delineate to be the will of God. Let me throw out something that seems really far out and impossible. Is it God's will that the Word of God, we call it the Bible, be promoted in society? Absolutely. God wants His Word to be known. So let me throw this out to you. Have you ever asked God to put His Word into our public education system? Into political life in our nation? You think God has the ability to do that? That seems so far-fetched. I mean, the Bible got kicked out of our schools way back in the 1960s. You don't think God could put it back in? Ask God to do things that are humanly impossible. I think it's God's will to expose sin. We should pray that the Lord would specifically expose sin in the lives of people, our leaders, for example, that their sins would find them out, that their sins would come to light, that they would be confronted with the sin in their life, and perhaps as a result of that, come to see their need for forgiveness, for a Savior. We need to pray that God would reveal the glory of Jesus' power in specific ways. Okay, so first step in praying big prayers, examine the will of God. Second step, well, before I'll get to this in a moment. Second step is this. Examine the will of God. Expect the power of God. What is God able to do? Well, there's some interesting verses that will catch our attention in John 14, 15, and 16, those three chapters consecutively, which is all about the Holy Spirit. Jesus is introducing us to the work of the Spirit. He says in John 14 and verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Whatsoever. Listen to this. This is John 15 and verse 7. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Okay? Next chapter, chapter 16, and this is verse 23. Here's what he says. "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." Praying confidently not only is examining the will of God, but expecting the power of God, expecting God to be able to do some big stuff. Because His ability is limitless. Now listen to me. God's will is limited. God's will is limited. He does not will to do everything. While God's will is limited in some ways, God's ability is unlimited. It is absolutely limitless. God can do anything He wills to do. He can take a woman that's 90 years old, who has never borne a child in her lifetime, whose womb is dead and shriveled up, and He can bring a baby out of it. In fact, people that didn't believe that, He said to them, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" He can take a country that has been completely overtaken and destroyed, and He can bring that country back to life after thousands of years in which that country was dormant and dead, and I'm talking about Israel. And when that country was first destroyed by the Babylonian army, God challenged the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 32, and he said, "Your country is going to be in 70 years of captivity, but I'm going to bring you back in 70 years. What I want you to do now, by faith, I want you to go buy land in your captive country that is in the hands of the enemy. Weigh out the money, buy the land." And then God said this to the prophet. He said, or the prophet said about God, he said, "God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He did that by his stretched out arm and great powers. Or anything too hard for the Lord?" Expect the power of God. It's limitless. We need to learn that about God, his limitless power. You need to review the Bible and even modern miracles to build expectation about God's ability in your own heart. You need to study the Word of God and really observe the way that God works, even in modern times. God's still doing miracles today. Learn that. And then list those things. List some examples of the glorious display of God's miraculous power. What are some of the mighty things that you can point to that God has done in past history? Well, there's a lot of them in the Bible, right? But there's a lot of them outside of the Bible that he's done in past history. What has he done that you know of? Perhaps it's a healing. Perhaps it's a financial provision that was so clearly a God thing, it's undeniable. Expect the power of God. The American artist John Sargent once painted a panel of roses that was so highly praised by the critics. It was a small picture, but almost perfect. And although he was offered on many occasions a high price for that painting, he always refused to sell it. He considered it his best work. He was not only very proud of it, but whenever he became deeply discouraged and doubtful about his artistic ability, he would look at that painting and he would think to himself, "I painted that." And then his confidence and his ability would come back to him. We need to do that when it comes to the mighty works of God. We need to keep looking at what God has done so that it rebuilds confidence that perhaps has drained out of us because of other circumstances. So, you want to pray with confidence. You want to pray big prayers. Examine the will of God. Expect the power of God. And third and finally, experience the miracle of God. Experience God doing supernatural, humanly impossible things. And to do that, you have to claim. You have to claim these miraculous. If it's God's will, then you can claim it by faith. And faith is simply depending upon God. If it's God's will, you can claim it by faith even before it happens. It's as good as done even before God does it. How do we know that? That's what the Bible teaches. That's what we're challenged to do. And we know that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we have the petitions that we have desired of him even before they're done. We have them. Got it? We experience the miracle of God even before it's accomplished. In the early 20th century, French Prime Minister Georges Clemenceau fought many duels with various rivals, and on one occasion, he surprised his assistant by asking the clerk at the Paris railroad station for a one-way ticket to a duel. Isn't that a little pessimistic? his assistant asked him. "Well, not at all," he replied. "I always use my opponent's return ticket for the trip back." That is confidence. We can have that kind of confidence when we claim what we know to be God's will. Before it ever becomes a reality, it's as good as done if it is the will of God and we're asking in His will. We should claim it because we're convinced. You see, the Holy Spirit gives us personal convincement when we talk and walk with the Lord. He confirms in our individual heart with a deep sense within us that God's going to answer, that God's going to work. Have you ever had that sense? Have you had people say to you, "You know what? I can't put my finger on it, but I just have a sense deep down in my heart that God's going to do such and such." Right? Well, that's what I'm talking about. Being convinced by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's convincement. The secret of boldness in prayer is that. It's being convinced by the Spirit of God within your human spirit. So you can claim it then. Because God said it, you know it's His will. You know it's not just out of your head or out of your heart. And so there's a challenge here. To experience the miracle of God, you have to be convinced. There has to be that claim upon it. But here's a challenge. I think that God Himself is testing you to ask Him for what you know is His will, but yet is a human impossibility. It would be a miracle for Him to do it. I think He's challenging. I think God likes it. I think God loves it when His people challenge Him, put Him to the test, so to speak, in believing faith to do something that is humanly impossible that He wants done. He is challenging us to that tonight. He's asking us to challenge Him in that way. In fact, I think He's waiting for us to do that. And when He does it, we should praise Him, and we should make sure that everyone knows this is God's doing. So God, I think, is asking you, at very least tonight, to kick up your prayer life a few notches and start believing Him to do supernatural things, to supernaturally move, and to do miraculous things. I think God would love it if His power could be gloriously revealed through our prayer life. He's waiting for that. He's challenging us to that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You tonight boldly because You told us to. And I'm thankful for You throwing down the gauntlet, so to speak, to us and challenging us to throw down the gauntlet to You. Lord, no matter how big a thing it might be in our minds, no matter how hugely impossible it might seem to us, no matter how great a miracle it would take to do it, if You have convinced us of it, that this is Your will, this is what we should pray for when You do it, it would be a light thing in Your sight. It would not be big at all for You to do. It'd be great for us, but a light thing for You. Lord, just as the Scripture says, nothing is impossible to Him that believeth. Lord, I pray that You would help our unbelief tonight and in the days ahead. Teach us to pray big prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.